Good evening, actually, good day, and hello, welcome to the ARC Robotics, what are we, an audio cast?
Blogcast, who knows?
Anyway, I'm Rob, I'm the designer and somehow the team captor of Big Day 3 and ARC Robotics team in general.
And I'm Ali, the driver of Big Day 3, and you know my voice from all the other podcasts that we've done on the ARC website.
This is very true, yes. So, we're going to do a nice little three-parter today. I think what we're going to do,
we discussed this about 2 seconds ago.
I'm aware of this, I forgot it.
And we're doing
I'm trying to do a nice segue to you talking.
Thank you. The first segment is the review of the UK Championships at Stevenage last week, which was, we learned a lot from that, I think.
Yeah, it was my first ever event. It was amazing.
There was that. There was also the fact that the featherweight lasted more than about 5 seconds.
Yes, we actually drove somewhere and didn't break down immediately.
And we've gone to YouTube as well.
Yes, we're on YouTube. And the crowd loved us in the last fight when we got destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah, so was that. And then we're going to discuss about the all the featherweight stuff we've done today in the workshop.
And yes, and finally, of course, we're going to talk about what, Robot Wars is next week.
Oh, jeez, yes it is.
Oh, so we've got to discuss what we're going to think about it and everything like that.
God, yeah.
So let's talk about Stevenage first. Well, as I said, it's my first event. And
yes, it was
great fun. We were stationed next to the shop guys. So, Zach and Shop, Will Thomas, and Ian Thomas.
They had their new robot there today.
Was it Manta?
Manta, yes.
Manta, yeah. Mm. With weird old orange eyes, but looked quite neat when it was all dark.
Blue, yeah, dark blue flipper.
Yeah, they kind of capitalized on the whole blue theme, haven't they?
Mm. Yeah, it's almost like the blue. It's not quite the blue Peter hue of blue, but it's getting that way, I would say. Or maybe
I can see that. It's kind of like the oven blue right there.
That's Arga blue. Yeah, actually, a blue piece is too light. It's more of a sort of classic Arga range blue.
I'm really expecting them, to turn up with Manta with like a stovepipe hat or something like that.
Great.
I've broken Alley already.
Not good.
So, that was great fun. They nicked a couple of our grub screws. Alternatively.
A few.
Well, alternatively, if you're Charles in the States and you're listening, set screws.
Charles in the States?
Yes, Charles Mullen.
Oh, okay.
Overhaul! And mini overhaul, and other things.
Equal
Zero Designs, and many other things in the electronicsy side of things that Chris would understand, but neither of us would, especially me.
Yes. So, what else? Yeah, we had to improvise a bit of a table, because they ran out of tables for us when we got there, at Stevenage, on the Saturday morning. We spent a while setting up. We missed the first featherweight fight, oops, because we were creating a whole new wedge for Catch You If You Can, which is Chris's featherweight. But because no arena will take a spinner at the minute, that outside of the Robot Wars TV series, you have to use basically not a spinner. You can use anything else, as Four demonstrated. It also means that the arena itself is still a bit flimsy, in that bits came off it. At one point, some of the plexiglass even came off as well.
Yeah, this is all due to Gabriel. Craig Collier's machine, run by himself and this is one of his sons.
Gabriel was the worst defender. Four wasn't far behind because he also took large chunks out of the arena with his axe as well.
This is true, but on Sunday morning he actually changed the position of his ram. So it was hitting about, an eighth of an inch.
Mm.
Alternatively, we're in England now, so 3.5 millimeters off the ground. And as such, he wasn't getting those massive gouges out unless it was.
I'm pretty sure he got a freak lift and then sent the axe off and did a bit of damage before the featherweight had to go in for the third or fourth fight.
Yeah, I think, didn't you run into that, Holly?
I think we did.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Fun times.
Yeah,
but let's talk about the wedge, because shout out and a really big thanks has to go to the Kapow team. They're the ones who kind of lent us an angle grinder, allowed us to, actually make the wedge.
Mm. We had a base piece of aluminium, we'd improvised a stand for it using a license plate as a template, which is about the same size as the piece of aluminium that we used to create the wedge. And to be fair, the license plate ended up being part of the defensive wedge.
It worked really well, didn't it?
Amazingly so. Even when we got flipped upside down, the license plate actually didn't prevent us from driving upside down.
And even more weirdly, it actually kind of improved the driving by transferring more of the pressure and the weight of the robot onto the rear wheels, which were the only driven things, and actually giving us a bit more control for the 16 seconds that it actually worked.
Mm. But the wedge, yeah, when we hit someone at the right angle, we did push, but then again, the arena floor was not conducive at all to any featherweights with tyres. Any sort of wheels without normal rubber, like car tyre rubber on it, was fine, but most featherweights compete, it seems, with the same tyres that we do. So we all struggle for grip at some points.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen Catch Me If You Can's wheels, it's essentially they're caster wheels off of live event trucks and cars like that. Ours are 125 millimeters, but they've got, you know, another 10 mil worth of bike tire, kind of hot glue gun on and staple into place. I mean, it looks nice, but it doesn't really work that well if it's not steel. That's the thing.
Stapled is a strong word.
Screwed and hoped.
That might also be overselling it a little. I'm
Okay.
admitting they don't fall off, but
They
what do
don't
you
fall off too much,
too
is the
much,
question.
yes.
But of course, there's the old tricks you can do. I mean, one thing you can do is you can actually spray some brake clean on them, which degrades the rubber a tiny bit. So for the first minute or so, you'll have some traction.
Yes.
But then you'll have to replace your tracks every, you know, everything's a trade-off.
But that being said, this is only your first time at the arena for Robots Live.
It is,
Extreme
yes.
Robots, however, have a steel floor, which makes a lot more noise, but you do get traction at least on that. So Catch Me If You Can does actually work as it should do on those arenas. But the wooden flooring just does not like rubber tires or vice
Well,
versa.
yeah, but we got to talk about the modifications we've done to Catch Me If You Can today, actually.
Oh yes.
So,
Yes, move on to that.
well, first thing we'll do, we'll talk about pressure points.
Oh, pressure, yes.
So, as you may have seen on the video that we shared on our Facebook page, ARC Robotics,
Please subscribe. Like, share, and subscribe.
this is not a YouTube channel, man.
Well, we're talking about YouTube.
Oh, yes, but it's actually, we shared it on our Facebook page. And it is the fourth fight of the day for Robots Live. It is our very last fight. Both Ali and I needed to run off pretty much immediately.
After the fight.
Yeah, so
Unfortunately, we missed the presentation for the winning UK Heavyweight Championships
Yeah,
as
which
well.
actually turned out to be Manta. But it's fantastic to go and
So
watch it.
ultimately, we were part of that team because we donated grub screws to them. I like to think of that anyway.
Tenuous link.
Tenuous link, but hey. Anyway, pressure point.
Yes, pressure point. So we befriended. There we go. So I put my teeth back in.
Yeah.
We'd made friends with the pressure point driver and team over the course of the weekend. They were quite worried that for their weapon motor, that to drive the hydraulic claw, is the exact same one we were using to, you know, make their robot go forwards. So they were worried about how much power we had. And they'd been saying, you know, for an entire year, they never actually managed to get anyone under their kind of razor-like claw. Due to spectacular failing at driving by myself.
Yes, you were. We sort of tossed a coin effectively over who would drive the last fight. We had three fights to go through. You drove the first one, which was Saturday afternoon. I did Sunday morning, when. I nearly got done by Pressure Point, but I luckily got
Nearly.
pushed off by Avalanche or one of the other flipper bots. But then one of the grub screws came out at that point, so
Yes,
I couldn't
grub
drive.
screws are a different thing, but
Anyway, so final fight, we decided you should do it because you've had less time to play with Catch Your Cameras. I've had quite a few fights under my belt. So you got the opportunity to drive them around, and then, yeah.
So,
You
to be fair, for the first 30 seconds of the fight, I full throttled it, which
did
wasn't a
well.
good idea, but I did smash into people with a wedge. I shoved someone into the pit eventually.
Yes, this did
Because
happen.
I
I was
backed.
very pleased
Oh, to be fair, it
that.
wasn't entirely a fluke, but I'm going to say it's skill.
Well, it did. Well, to be fair, he's in the pit, so
Yeah, and
can't complain.
what happened there is we got shoved up onto the wedge of pressure point, and it went down. And thankfully, they didn't go down all the way because it was very close to the battery. Because there's a fantastic bit of commentary where it's like, "Yes, no, the battery, no!"
can just hear just me and Rob just shouting, "No, the battery!" And
Yeah.
at this point, I looked at Rob, and in my head, he's like, "What the beep have you done, Rob?"
What the beeping beep are you beeping done?
Yeah,
But
but the seeing the reaction of the crowd just sort of made me sort of reel it in a little bit mentally. But then what? And then I thought, "That's it, we're dead." To quote JR when he sees Mankind being thrown to the Hell in a Cell match for Undertaker in 1999, I was like, "That's it, he's dead." I could see smoke, which turned out just to be dust. Or
Yeah,
no,
very,
because
very thankfully, the smoke in the arena was actually from Dave Weston's microwave
the
bot.
which set fire before the match even started.
Apparently, that was a smoke machine.
Oh, it was a smoke machine. Oh,
But
of
it
course, there is
was,
a smoke machine. Is
yeah, I think it was just a vaping pen that someone left on. But
okay.
it looked neat. The door
Because the
eventually
door opened
closed.
and smoke came out, and then we all thought it was on fire.
Yeah, but no. In terms of our game, fantastic job by Pressure Point to actually get something underneath their weapon. It's our fault, end of the
That's
day.
that wedge is not grippy enough to keep anything in place. Because he tried all weekend, you could see running around, and we were bots just sort of managed to maneuver away from him. Featherweights are very nimble, as implies with their name. It's much like in boxing, where featherweights are more about speed rather than power, whereas heavyweights are much more about trying to just knock hell's bells out of each other.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of the heavyweights are just so powerful that kind of it's the first hit will win. I mean, it's getting to that level. It's definitely at that level in the States already, and it's not that nice to watch. But you're talking about featherweights being light and nimble. This is what's called a segue, next segment.
Yes, yeah, like
talk about, what's happening with ACTV? This is your feather, isn't it?
No, I'm trying to do the voice, aren't you? I was about to do the voice, but I'll leave it at that, because that requires touching the special demon energy that comes from the spirit of ACTV.
Well, okay, so as you're aware...
ACTV.
Yes, as you're aware, so viewers, listeners... If you've been following our blog or following Ali's podcast, you'll know that Ali's working on a featherweight called ARC TV. And what's that again?
ARC TV, because ARC being the team name, and then TV because the main base plate and flippy and actual flipper come from the back of a TV stand that I found in West Yorkshire. Some counties are literally just scrapyards unto themselves. It's incredible what you can find on the side of a road sometimes.
And is this something that literally anyone can do, do you reckon?
If you can find the armour, then yeah. If you can find the motors out of cars and you know how to extract them, then yeah, go for it, I would say.
Okay, yeah, we'll come on to that later.
But ARC-TV, yes, it's doable if you can find someone with a little bit of electrical know-how to direct you in sort of the FRA forms, for example, about what you need to put into robots and whatnot. Then I don't see why you can't do it. It just requires a bit of practice, really.
Yeah, so with ARC-TV, ARC-TV or ARC-TV?
ARC-TV.
ARC-TV. So with ARC-TV, it's pretty simple. So we're going with one of the SMC 10-bar pneumatic rams for the front of it. And it's going to be a French flipper. Just imagining when it was like,
croissant? Ah, croissant, what?
Got to know.
Me out.
Are we allowed to say that without a beep?
Probably.
Should I just put a beep in there? May out beep, may out beep, may out beep.
That sounds
funny. Well, it needs a little speaker in it, so it speaks in different languages, so you know. Fight other people.
Je voudrais un circulat, s'il vous plaît.
What's that? I would like circulat, please.
Yes, it was.
Yes, the French knowledge is still there from year 9.
Excellent.
Oh, wait, no, I did it for GCSEs because I was forced. Anyway.
Anyway, yeah, so ARC-TV. So I've got pretty much all the armour in place now. It's just a case of getting it welded and bolted together and putting the electrics in. So everything needs to be put together, basically.
Yeah, and all in terms of the drive motors, there's a couple of Grimsons. So if you're familiar with Grimsons, I know you're not, because I've ordered them for you.
Yes, you have. I was about to say, I don't know what's going into my robots.
So there's 700-sized motors, and a 700-sized motor is entirely random. I have no idea why it's called 700, and as far as I can tell, no one else does either. But it's about, it's about 100 mil long maximum.
Yeah,
that's with the gearbox. And it comes with a little gearbox, so you can just... Attach the wheels directly on, and you have drive that just works.
Plug in, play.
That's the idea, yeah.
Hey,
the thing is, are you going to take an idea from the Honey Badger? So the Honey Badger is, I think it's a Mike. Michael's the driver and designer.
Honey Badger.
It's the one that got destroyed in one of our fights.
Ah, yes.
By the Arena Flipper. But that uses the same drive motor.
That was insane. Honey Badger was put on the Arena Flipper, and when it hit the plexiglass on the other side, it just disintegrated.
To be fair, it's wood and plastic and a chopping board. But that just shows you how resilient this stuff is. Because the next fight was up and running. It's fine.
It was entirely rebuilt.
Yeah, it was amazing. Are you going to take, a leaf out of their book and, encase your electronics in a Tupperware box?
I was going to take more of a leaf out of, Gabriel's book. Because the guy who does Gabriel, I forget his name.
Craig,
yes. He has a featherweight where everything is basically also on a sort of a board, and all electrics are just on one board. But he has this unique system where he can just slot it out of the armor. So
kind of like a drawer.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
The drawer is, and then it flips over so you just have it on top. It's really cool. And then you've got inbuilt gearboxes into the motors as well. Essentially, he's designed it so everything is really easy to interchange. Although if the armor gets destroyed, then he's in a bit of trouble because that stuff's not easy to replace. It's a weird design, his featherweights. It's not like a mini Gabriel because that would be really complicated to do. If anyone, I suppose it is theoretically possible to do that, but I don't think it'd be as effective because you just wouldn't get the power behind the
Yeah,
belts
you'd need
and.
a massively long arm, by which point you're out of the size regulations.
Oh, this is true. Yeah,
Yeah.
featherweights are a bit weird with that, but
Yeah, well,
conventional
talking
weights.
of long arms, I've got some updates for Boeing.
Yes. Why don't you tell us about Boeing? Since I've got nothing else to say about RTV.
Well, if you do, I've got some more things that you can say later.
Okay, well, fair
So
enough.
Boeing, if you've not heard about it before, is my featherweight. Well, at least that's the idea. So to whiz through the specs very quickly, tank tracks, because they're just cool. Because, who's not going to say that tank tracks are cool? It's a full pressure, 1,000 PSI hammer. That's about it. Ta-da!
To which my reply would be, viewers, when was the last time you saw tank tracks in Robot Wars?
Well, when was the last time you saw tank tracks, a hammer, and at full pressure hammer? That's the thing. I've only found one other, and that was back in 2006 for Battlebots.
Wow.
Sorry, not Battlebots, RoboGames. It's a
Robo
different
Games.
thing.
Robo Games was the spin-off
The
of Robo
RoboGames is kind of like Robots Live and Extreme Robots put
Ah,
together, but
yes.
in the States.
Yes,
And
because it
only
was a
once a year,
short-lived.
but it's huge.
Yeah, no, sorry, I'm thinking of what was it, BattleBots back before it got completely sold out by
Yeah.
the what's it, the various people who started it up.
ABC.
Which do no, well, they did have a part to play, but nowhere near as much as you'd think. I've got a whole history of BattleBots on the website.
Oh,
It's,
really?
yeah, it's buried in the archives of my first season of doing all these podcasts.
Well, yeah, I'll link it at the
So
bottom.
I will have to do it now, won't
Yeah,
I?
so Ali's
Yeah.
link on the history of BattleBots, and of course, was it Robot Wars as well?
Yes, it was meant to be a history of Robot Wars, but it turns out to be more of a history of BattleBots to start with.
Well, that'll be at the bottom of the page, so
It's
yeah, carry on
way
listening if you're
better.
interested.
Yes. Anyway,
So,
so it's Boeing
Boeing,
and the tank tracks, which I don't think are going to work as well as you think they are, but it's always worth a try.
Well, the tank tracks are a little weird. So the tank tracks are all 50 mm wide belt, just a normal PowerFlex rubber belt. But the reason they're gonna have grip is because I'm gonna put them in like a jig, and kind of cuss. I'm not going to cuss.
Cut.
I'm gonna cast liquid
Ah.
rubber around the track, so I'll be able to essentially go, okay, here are my tank tracks, go. And that should take about 2 hours or so to dry, which is a nice. Deliberately like that, so we can cast new ones between the battles. My issue is currently the solenoids. So in Heavy Great Robot Wars, and especially things that are about 1,000 PSI mark, the Burkert bunker. I don't know. They're
As in
German.
the
The
Hewlett.
Burkert might be Burkert, but the Burkert 5404 valve is kind of like the standard 2-2 valve that'll just work. I can't find, and as far as I can tell, no one's actually made a 1,000 PSI capable 5-3 valve, which is actually what you need. So you can just do that with two, 3-2 valves, and one having normally open, one having normally closed. It's pretty simple, but and I'll elaborate it more on the blog. But that's my issue is size, because there's, the champion of Robot Wars, Dave Moulds himself from Team Carbide, told me it was too beep big. So I've made it
Those were his
smaller.
exact words.
Yes.
Too beep big.
Yeah. So I've shrunk it down at, the advice of everyone, including the reigning UK heavyweight champion.
Meanwhile, I have not had such advice because I tend to go on my own instincts and design drawings and then rely on the team of ARC to help me out, which is so far going quite well considering that I've barely had to spend a penny on the robot. This is slowly turning into 101. Go Northamptonshire, 101 came from Kettering and they cost a pound and a penny. My
Fair
robot
enough.
won't cost that much. It'll cost a bit more because I've still got to get most of the electrics, but
The
we'll
battery.
get. Yes, the battery for one, and some other bits and bobs, but we'll get
Yeah, that's true. So, well, talking about teams from Robot Wars, the new series.
It's another, yes, another excellent segue into another topic, Rob.
It's almost like I had training doing this.
It's weird. So, I now, which is next weekend, which will be the
27th of October at 9 p.m., 8 p.m., one of the two.
8 p.m. I would imagine, because that's the previous series. Let me bring it up on my internet.
So while Sally does that, I'm going to talk you through my expectations for Robot Wars. So we know that they've got smaller in terms of the actual robot size. They're only doing 30 this year instead of 40 last year, which is a bit of a shame. But I've heard rumblings about a 10 robot rumble at the end of the series, which will be amazing, because this is a whole series of fantastically built machines knocking the beep out of each other.
First thing comes up on the BBC website when you type in Robot Wars is robots that care.
I don't think these robots care that much.
No, this is you don't understand, BBC. You have a program called Robot Wars, and I'm not looking for robots that care. I'm going to go deeper.
So whilst Ali is looking at hospitality robots, we're looking at
hospitality. Right.
The new design should be fun. So we know a couple that are out there. So we know that Donald Thump is going to be there.
I've seen him fight.
Have you seen him fight?
Well, he has a horizontal spinner bar, but he didn't use it when I was there. But if you see him, you will either love him or hate him. Anyway, yes.
So that's going to polarize viewers.
8 o'clock on Sunday, 22nd October 2017 on BBC Two.
Yeah, BBC Two. Best place in the world. And Carbide, defending champions, they'll be gunning for Apollo. Definitely. Absolutely. They will be gunning for Apollo.
Mm.
They're going to go, oh, it's not going to work that well. And of course, rip through literally everything, including the arena.
Again.
But then again, we can't underestimate Aftershock either.
This is true. These various robots, I'm going to bring up the Robot Wars website, because now it's confusing in that there's robotwars.tv, which is the official website, but the BBC have now launched their own separate website, which is also official.
Ignored. Just go to robotwars.tv.
Do they still have the problem where the tab on Google Chrome says Series 2, but the webpage says Series 9, or whatever it is, or vice versa?
To be honest, I don't actually know, because I haven't paid attention.
This is the first time I've been on the website for a while. I have been out of the loop, has to be said.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that the new series is going to be bigger, badder, and yeah, it'll be fun. Although I don't think it'll be better, if that makes sense. Because it'll only be 6 episodes still.
I'm highly disappointed in that it's only 30 robots as well. Because I just hark back to the oldie days where they had nearly 100 competitors in for one
series.
Yeah,
I mean, they've easily got the budget and time to do a 12 episode series.
They've not updated the website, it looks like. It's been updated slightly, because they call throwing someone out the there are three ways to win by knockout. One is the trench. This sounds confusing, but it's when you flip the opponent's out of the arena into the surrounding trench. It's never been described as a trench before on TV, so that's interesting. You got the maneuvering the opponents into the pit of oblivion or immobilizing them for 10 seconds. And then judge decision.
Of course, we've also got the Fog of War this year, haven't we?
Yes, but it doesn't mention that, so it's not been fully updated.
Yeah, so the Fog of War, as far as we can tell, is a couple of smoke machines. I'm not quite sure how that helps, apart from the fact that anyone with a bright light will be able to go through that immediately.
Mm. Yeah,
so I don't see why that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, this has not been updated.
Fair enough.
Not help. It's gone to the BBC website.
So, Ali, what would you think of having 100 bots in season?
I would love that, because then you could
12
have
episodes, so 11 competitors.
So that'd
11
be nine heats, two semis, one grand final.
You reckon?
That would be, if it was 100 bots. Somehow you have to fit like 11 or 12 bots into each heat, and then do a really slightly weird system of group battles.
Well, they could always do some. I reckon if they're trialing a 10-bot rumble.
10-bot rumble. How on earth is that going to work?
I don't know.
Unless,
well, I reckon they could do the prelim, those 5 robots per one.
If they have 2 group winners in each stage, then you could have a 10-bot melee in the grand final. That's the only way I could see it working, because having a 6-man annihilator in the heat is going to be a bit weird. If you then have a 10-man annihilator, as it were, for the grand final as
I
well.
I think the grand final's got to be 1 versus 1.
Again?
Yeah, the grand final's got to be 1v1. Because otherwise, people just won't watch
But
it.
you still, but you still have six robots. You've still got to decide those somehow. You can still have group battles within those.
Yeah,
Before
I think
the grand final.
I think that Mentor and the BBC should look about doing a 12-episode series because then they can quite easily lead straight onto Christmas episodes, which is nice.
I wasn't such a fan of Christmas episodes. They weren't fantastic.
Yeah,
to be
but they got the kids into it. That's the thing.
Yes, they did, but I'm just. If they're going to reduce the number of competitors, then how on earth are you going to get kids involved if there's less time, there's less chance for them?
Because they're cute, of course they're going to get up.
I'm not convinced necessarily because the way there's just less chance because you've got not only kids on, but you've also got amateurs like ourselves and essentially professional full-time robot fighting teams at this point, as I want to call them. I mean, yes, in the US you get sponsorship, and in the UK you don't really get that level of sponsorship. Compared to over here, because otherwise it involves BBC doing advertising, and that's banned still because it's public service. Long story short, though, I do feel that if you have more competitors, that gives people more chance to think, "Hey, I could do this." So that's why I'm going on purely populist.
Yeah, I would love a sub £500 category,
as in
a heavyweight championship.
Like
so
a
have two versions, still both 110 kilos, one of which is the unlimited class. And one of which is the budget class. So this is machines under £500.
That would be hard to do.
That's the idea, though. Machines under £500, and then the grand final for each one, you pit the four against each other. And whoever wins, wins.
Well, then you'd have two titles, but then again, the BBC Robot Wars Championship is not the official UK championship anymore, as it used to be.
No, that's now the honour of the Fighting Robot Association.
Well, to be fair, they always endorsed it. It just happens to be that when the BBC and Channel 5 stopped showing Robot Wars, it just went off air, as it were.
Yes, so I think that's a nice note on which to end our show. Once again, congratulations to Manta to becoming the FRA Heavyweight Championship.
With our grub screws.
With our runs. But they didn't go off. They didn't want our Loctite either, so weird that one.
Yes, we should at least get to hold the trophy.
Yes, at least for like the half a second, that'd be nice. But yes, once again, congratulations to Team Shock and Manta for winning the FRA Heavyweight Championships.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to Ali for his AFC TV build.
Yes, and same to Rob for Boing. Yes, I'm going to keep calling it.
I really want you to do an ident for it. And Ali, when will the podcast be back?
When I get time. Hopefully. Well, we need to sort out who's doing the reviews for the TV series, because if we end up everyone doing their own individual review of each reward episode, then it's going to be a minefield for everyone.
This
we're
is true.
Our opinions.
So,
but
um,
as soon as I've done the Asimov, I've got one or two vague ideas in my head as to what to do next.
Okay, well, I'll definitely be doing a video series hosted on our Facebook channel around the, you know, the Carbide, I say Carbide Championships. Because of course it's going to be Carbide.
Carbide Championships.
Because that's what it is. Everyone's gunning for Carbide. But anyway, I'll be reviewing Robot Wars on our Facebook channel. That's ARC Robotics /Team ARC UK, I believe.
Imagine those foam hands with the Carbide. You'd have a little spinning, like fidget spinner on top of
them. I would pay to see that.
Make those and make my fortune in foam hand fidget spinners. But it's just
brilliant.
Going Carbide.
That'd be fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, right, on that note, thank you ever so much for listening.
I am Ali, the driver of Big Day 3.
And I'm Rob, the designer and... what am I?
Captain.
Oh, I'm Captain. And, we'll talk to you later.
Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.